Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. You are listening to a sermon from our series, Breaking Free of the World's Mold, a study of the book of James.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Several years ago, the great evangelist Dwight L. Moody once told a fable about a very envious eagle that was envious of another eagle that could fly better than he could. Well, one day the bird was looking enviously up at the other bird, and he happened to notice that there was a sportsman with a bow and arrow. And the eagle said to him, "I wish you'd just shoot down that other eagle up there." The man said, "Well, I would if I just had some feathers for my arrow." And so the envious eagle began pulling feathers out of his own body. And the sportsman put it onto his arrow, and he shot the arrow up, but it missed the mark. And so the envious bird said, "Try again." And he pulled out more feathers and more feathers and more feathers, until he had lost so many that he could no longer fly. Well, the archer knew what he was doing, and he took advantage of the situation. He turned around and then killed the envious bird. What's the point of this story that Dwight L. Moody shared? Well, it's simply this, that the sin of envy, it just doesn't lead to anything good, does it? As we continue with our sermon series, Breaking Out of the World's Mold, as we make our way through the book of James, today we're going to be looking at that thing called envy. In James chapter 3, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." So we understand selfish ambition, always thinking about yourself and trying to make yourself bigger and better, sometimes at the expense of others. But what is envy? What is a good definition for envy? Well, simply put, it's this. Envy is the desire to have what others have. Or another way to put it is this. It says in Romans 12, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." But envy is just the opposite of that. Envy says, "I rejoice with those who mourn, and I mourn with those who rejoice." In other words, when you're happy, when you've got everything, it looks like you've got the world by the tail, instead of being happy for you and rejoicing with you, I'm actually kind of mad or sad because I want that for myself. And if everything gets taken from them, then that actually makes me happy. And that's the opposite of love. That's why envy and jealousy are such terrible sins. And they start early, don't they? You see little kids sitting there and they're playing with a toy, and then they see another child playing with a toy that they would like better, and pretty soon they're no longer content with their own toy. Now they're crying because they want the other one. And then as we grow older, we continue with those envious hearts. We start envying other things like, well, that person has a relationship that's better than mine, or that person has more success than I have, or that person has more money than I have. That person has more opportunities than I have. And instead of being happy for them, rejoicing with those who rejoice, we get upset and we get angry. Now, maybe you're thinking this, "Come on, Pastor. I mean, envy? We're going to have an entire sermon on envy? Like, that seems like such a small sin compared to maybe some of the others, you know, like adultery or like murder, of course. But I think what you'll find if you start looking through Scripture, which we're going to do here just briefly here today, that envy is a big, bad sin that causes all kinds of problems. First of all, like we said in James 3, such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It's not from God when we're envious. But number one, it's earthly. It's part of this earthly fallen world. It's unspiritual, or it doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. And it's actually demonic. It's actually from demons. And it says in Titus 3, at one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and, there it is, envy, being hated and hating one another. So he says that if we are envious, if we're allowing envy to drive us and drive our emotions, we're foolish, disobedient, deceived, and actually enslaved by the enemy. That's not the way that God wants us to live our lives. Back to James 3, he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you're going to find disorder and every evil practice. Our very important point of the day is simply this. When you are following God, your life will usually, and I put that word in there usually because sometimes, even if you are following God for a time, we don't really know what's going on. But if you're following God, your life will usually seem pretty ordered, almost like it's being guided by an unseen and powerful hand. But when you're not seeking to follow God or in rebellion against Him especially, your life is oftentimes going to seem disordered. And that's what he's talking about there. He's saying that when you have envy and selfish ambition, your life is going to seem kind of like a mess. It's going to seem disordered. It's going to seem like it doesn't make any sense. And God wants far more for us than that. You see, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, God is not a God of disorder, but He's a God of peace. And so when we are seeking Him, we're going to have that peace. We're going to have that order in our lives. When we're living, being envious, and having selfish ambition in our lives, it's just going to seem like it's out of control. James goes on to say, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come down from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you have, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. James is saying this, you want to know where all the fighting in the world, all the quarreling, even all the wars come from? Well, at the very heart of it, where did it all begin? It began with things like envy. You've got something that I want, and now I'm mad. I'm not happy for you. I want what you have. Think about the wars in the world. So many of the wars start with this. I envy the land that you have. And now I'm willing to go to war to get it. It all begins with a heart problem called envy. In Romans chapter 1, it says that envy actually proceeds from a depraved mind. You think this isn't an important thing to talk about, but actually, it really is. It comes from having a depraved mind when we find ourselves in envy and other sins. In Proverbs 14, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. But what does envy do? It rots the bones. It rots the bones. In Job 5, it says, resentment kills a fool and envy slays the simple-minded. I was thinking this week about all of the stories in the Bible where envy plays a big part, and none of them turn out well. for the person that is envious, whether it's Cain and Abel, or whether it's the Joseph and his brothers, or Miriam and Aaron that wish that God would speak to them in the same way he does to Moses, or whether it's David and Saul, or even Jesus himself. As we just read in our gospel lesson for today, the reason they turned Jesus over was because of envy. They wanted what Jesus had. Jesus had the respect and the love of all the people, and they just couldn't have that. And so they were willing to kill the Lord of life in order to eliminate him. In Deuteronomy 5, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Our heart is not to be on what other people have and wish that we had that and do anything we could to get that. That's what that word covet means. In 1 Corinthians 13, our God of love lays out what love is. And he says this: love is patient, love is kind. And the third thing it says about love is it's not into envying what others have. It does not envy. You see, envy, when we're envying somebody else, it's the opposite of love. Love is just like we read in Romans 12. It's rejoicing with those who rejoice. It's mourning with those who mourn. And envy is just the opposite. I'm not happy for you if you've got something good. I want it. And until I get it, or until you lose it, I'm not going to be happy. That's a really difficult emotion. And you know, when you think about all of the seven deadly sins that are talked about in the Bible, this is the one that never really does have any fun to it. There's really no joy to envy. You think of all the others. You think of, you know, lust and anger and all these other things. They've got at least a little bit of joy before it goes downhill. Envy rots the bones from the minute it starts. So with all of this talk about envy, I hope that every one of us is like, man, I don't want that in my life. Or maybe you're seeing it in your life and you're saying, I want to get rid of that. Well, how can we be free from envy? For the remainder of this message, we're just going to look at a few points, maybe, of how to rid yourself of this horrible thing called envy. Number one, recognize where envy comes from. It's very important that we recognize that. In Mark 7, Jesus went on to say, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Things like sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness," there it is, "envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." So envy is a symptom of a heart that's not right. And it's important for us to recognize that whenever you start having those envious feelings, whenever you find yourself not happy about somebody else's good fortune, it should throw up a red flag that says, oh, my heart isn't right. Why is that important? Because number two is this: when you realize that, ask the Holy Spirit to free you from envy and work in you his fruit. We say this all the time here at St. John's, but you and I can't change our hearts. I can change my actions on the outside, at least for a little bit, but I can't change the heart. The only one that can do that is the Holy Spirit. And when you and I were baptized and began to believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God put his Holy Spirit down inside of us to be our helper, to do the things that you and I can't do, like change the heart. So when you recognize that your heart isn't right with God, whenever you're envious, what do you do? Well, you don't beat yourself up. You say, God, I'm sorry that I've allowed envy to kind of take over my life here. Holy Spirit, change my heart. Change my heart so that I can do what it says in Romans 12. I can rejoice with those who have good fortune, and I can mourn with those that have bad. In Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit, the things that come from the Holy Spirit, are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Instead, let's let the Holy Spirit make a change to our life so that we begin to look like James chapter 3, where it says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. That is what God is looking for in your and my life. I can't do that myself. It's got to be the Holy Spirit helping me, working from the inside out to transform me so that what comes out of me will naturally be better. Number three, how to be free from envy? Recall the many blessings that God has given to you. Kind of like Bing Crosby sang many years ago, when you're worried and you can't sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessing. That's what God wants us to do. Instead of looking at what other people have, count your own blessings. I love this. I found this on the internet this week. It says, envy is the art of counting the other fellow's blessings instead of your own. Instead of thinking through all the things that everybody else has, stop for just a moment and think about what you have. And even if you don't have maybe something that you wish you had, there's going to be plenty. If you're honest with yourself, there's going to be plenty that you're going to recall of blessings for yourself. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you know that God wants to bless you? Why does he want to bless you? Because he loves you. You're his kid. And he couldn't do that because the Bible says that our sin separated us from him. But because he wanted to love on you so badly, he sent his son Jesus Christ to come down here to this earth to take all of that sin that separated us from God upon himself and to pay for it once and for all with his life, so that now nothing would be able to separate you from him. And now he could do what he's always wanted to do, and that is to just lavish you with blessings. And when you take a moment to think through all the things, big and small, that are good in your life, you'll realize God has really done that. He has lavished you with all kinds of blessing. What does envy do? It keeps you from recognizing all those things. You start getting this tunnel vision and you only see the one thing you don't have instead of all the things you do have. Number four, after you recall the many blessings God has given to you, thank God out loud for those blessings. Don't just think about them in your head, but then actually let it come out your mouth. In Psalm 100, it says, enter his gates, God's gates, with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Once again, because of what Jesus did, you and I can go right in through the gates, right into the courts of God himself, right up to his throne, kneel before his throne, jump up on his lap, and not only ask him for what you need, but also to tell him thank you for all the things he's already given you. And that is perfectly appropriate for us who have been lavished with so many blessings by God. Number five, how to be free from envy? Ask God for what you need. This might be the most obvious one up there, but, you know, think about it. When you see a need that's unmet in your life, and then you see other people that have that need met, oftentimes, instead of going to God and asking Him for what you need, we just let that envy just kind of take over us. It says in James 4, you do not have. Why? Because you do not ask God. That's the point. God wants to help you. He wants to take care of your needs. He just also wants to be asked. Then he goes on to say, when you ask, sometimes you're not going to receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God is very interested in taking care of your and my needs. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that provides for us. But there will be an occasion, I'm sure, where you're going to pray for something, or I'm going to pray for something that God in His wisdom knows, Ryan, you don't need that. In fact, I know better than you that if I were to give that to you just like you asked, it's actually going to be bad for you. It's going to be bad for your relationships. It's going to be bad for your trust in me. And so I'm going to withhold that. I'm going to give you something better. And that's what he's talking about up there. There will be times when God will say, no, I'm not going to give you that because I know better than you that that's not going to be helpful for you. But if it's going to be good for you, if it's going to be good for your family, if it's going to be good for your relationships, God loves to give that kind of stuff. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? If you and I know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more will a perfect Father know to give good gifts to us when we ask Him as well? Back to Philippians 4, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Once again, why does God give us all the good things that we need? Because Jesus made the way for God to be able to do that. And now, like Paul says to the Philippians, He's going to meet all your needs as you go to Him with those needs. Number six, and this might be the hardest of the seven that we're going to talk about here today. Pray blessings over the person that you find yourself envious of. Sometimes that's hard, right? Because those feelings of resentment, and why would that person be given that good thing that I have been striving for and I can't get? Do this. Begin praying for that person. And the most amazing thing happens when you dedicate yourself every day to praying for that person. God begins to transform your own heart. So instead of envy, instead of selfish ambition, instead of anger and resentment toward that person, you begin to love them and you begin to rejoice with them. This is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5. He says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. By nature, we only want to pray for those that we like, those that we're not envious of. But God says, no, pray for even those that in your heart you don't really like, or maybe you're envious of, or maybe you resent for one reason or the other. And as you do so, God begins to transform the heart from the inside out. Remember, envy is not a good thing. You don't want to hold on to it. It will rot your bones, according to the Bible. And this is a great way to start getting rid of that envy. Begin praying for the person that has. By the way, just a little side note. When you look at somebody else and you realize they have something that I want, you know what we're really doing? It's like we're taking a snapshot at that one part of their life and saying, why are they so blessed in their life? But if you were to take a step back and look at their whole life, you know what? Everybody has problems. They might be okay in that area of their life, but they may really be struggling in another area of their life. And so it's really not fair just to look at one element and say, wow, I'm so jealous of that person. I'm so envious of what they have because of that one thing. When there's plenty of other things that they're struggling with in their life, and that's why we are to pray for one another. Praise God that you've got that one thing that's going well in your life. Is there anything in your life that you're struggling with that I can pray for you? Now that's love. And finally, number 7, don't just pray for the person you're envious of. Cheer for the person that you're envious of. God is blessing him or her. Yeah, he is, because he loves that person just like he loves you. But get this, he won't forget you. It's not a competition. God has more than enough love for you and for that person. He's got more than enough gifts for that person and for you. In Hebrews 13, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? God says you don't have to be infatuated with money or what other people have. Why? Because I'm never going to leave you. I got you. Come to me with your needs. I'll take care of them, and you won't have to be envious of everyone else. May God bless us with that heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.